Mrs. Chapel for March the 1st, 1963. Dr. Duncan is our speaker.
Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let us join in prayer. O God and Father, accept this day our humble expression of gratitude for all thy created order, for the bounty of the land and the beauty of the sky, but most of all for the human family of which we are a part. For thy gifts to us of reason, of conscience, of emotion, and of the ability to make decisions, we give thee thanks. By thy grace, our fathers did bring forth in this land political states and a nation, and did fashion laws and political institutions. How grateful we are that thou didst enable these men to develop here for us an environment of freedom and security in which we may freely worship, freely teach, and freely preach. We are grateful for the memory of those men. But thee alone do we worship. For they and we can stand in thy presence only as sinners. We pray then for forgiveness. Cleanse our hearts and our lives. Continue to bless this nation of ours and this state in which we live, and permit us to share in the shaping of the world in which we live so that it may be a fitter place for our children and for our children's children. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Exactly 300 years from the fourth Sunday of next month, March 24th, 1663, to be exact, the reigning sovereign of England, Charles II, granted to 8 of his courtiers a charter. A charter which granted to them all the region lying between the 31st and 36th degrees latitude, north latitude, and extending westward from the Atlantic Ocean to the South Seas. This province of Carolina was to be held and governed by these men as the true and absolute lords proprietors. As you perhaps know, the state of North Carolina is this year celebrating then its tercentenary, and because of the nature of this charter, which first created this colony, and because of the colonial character of North Carolina, as well as for the fact that you and I are all involved in the life of this state, though some of us perhaps for only a short time, as well as because this campus has for 130 years played an important role in the life of this state, I've chosen to call this event and its celebration to your attention. Now, you might think that this is not a very appropriate thing to do in a chapel service, for Charles II and his friends were no saints. As a matter of fact, to quote one who is well known, I hope, on this campus, Williston Walker, Charles was unscrupulous, immoral, weak, and indifferent in religion. And Walker adds, little reliance could be placed on his promise. Yet in this charter, there is contained the statement that the grant was made out of, and I quote, a pious zeal for the propagation of the gospel among the heathen, unquote. And now it is said that when these eight men stood before the king and made their request and indicated that one of the motivations for this request was a pious zeal for the propagation of the gospel among the heathen, Charles looked at them for a moment, almost disbelieving, and then broke into uproarious laughter, in which they are said to have joined. He then took his little shaggy spaniel dog, with its large and meek eyes, and holding it out at arm's length, said, "Good friends, here is a model of piety and sincerity which it might be wholesome for you to copy." And then tossing the dog to one of these, the Earl of Clarendon, who you know was regarded as the instigator of an infamous code against religious dissenters in England, the king remarked, "There, Hyde, is a worthy prelate. Make him archbishop of the domain which I will give you." Well, it is perhaps a bit indicative of the sort of attitude which these men had toward the church to remember that more than about 40 years went by before there was any real attempt on the part of the governors to promote the establishment of a church, and the colonists were left to their own initiative in religious matters. Even though in the charter there was given them the power to build and found churches. More to their credit, however, was the certain fact that they intended their colony to be a place of religious freedom. For they had inserted into the original charter an article, Article 18, which authorized them to grant liberty of conscience and of worship to those who, and I quote the charter, cannot, in their private opinions, conform to the public exercises of religion according to the liturgy, forms, and ceremonies of the Church of England, or take and subscribe the oaths and articles made and established in that behalf. Now, it is undoubtedly true that, in part at least, this provision was there in the charter because of pragmatic considerations. For it was necessary to attract colonists to the colony if it was to be a financial success. And many of the most likely colonists would be dissenters from the Church of England. Yet I think we must not be too harsh on these proprietors, for they did in many matters prove themselves to be men of liberal and reasonable spirit. One has only to remember that the great philosopher John Locke was the secretary of the Earl of Shaftesbury, one of these men, and that Locke was employed to draw up the fundamental constitutions of the new colony, and that he himself later became one of the proprietors. In fact, for nearly as long as they held the province, the Lord's proprietors sought to attract to Carolina by the guarantee of religious freedom. The second charter of 1665 made this guarantee even more explicit, as it said, "No person or persons to whom such liberty shall be given shall in any way be molested, punished, disquieted, or called in question for any differences in opinion or practice in matters of religious concernment, who do not actually disturb the civil peace of the province, county, or colony that they may make their abode in. But all and every such person or persons may from time to time and at all times freely and quietly have and enjoy his and their judgments and consciences in matters of religion throughout all the said province or colony, they behaving themselves peaceably." At this very time, dissent was being severely persecuted in England under Charles. And one might suppose from this fact that there would have flocked into this young colony many Baptists from the very beginning, since the colony had such a liberal provision with regard to religious freedom. There is not much evidence, however, to support the idea that Baptists came in any great numbers early in the colony's existence. While there undoubtedly were some from the early years, it was not until 1727 that the first Baptist church was organized in this colony. In the meantime, however, Quakers had become exceedingly numerous and influential. And because of their numbers, augmented by Presbyterians and an increasing number of Baptists, the establishment of the Church of England never really amounted to very much in North Carolina. Much later, under Governor Tryon, there was a determined effort to promote the interests of the establishment, but the tradition of freedom and the strength of religious dissent was so great in North Carolina that the state became second only to Virginia among the states of the Union in adopting in 1776 a constitution guaranteeing full religious freedom. The battle for religious liberty has been fought by many people in many places and at many times. And you and I may be thankful for every one of those battles which has made possible our present situation. Yet we should be reminded by these earlier struggles that eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. And we shall be untrue to our heritage, whether as Baptists or as North Carolinians, if we fail to keep active our concern that all men everywhere shall have the right to worship freely, to teach openly, and to persuade fearlessly. Let us pray. Dismiss us, O Father of us all, to go to the further tasks of this day, more fully aware of the debt we owe to those who have made this day possible, and with a greater consciousness of the challenge to understand more profoundly and to defend more intelligently the rights with which thou hast endowed humankind. This we pray in Jesus' name.